Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and I'm here today with Tristan Armstrong, who's the new CEO of Rocky Mountaineer. Now, Tristan was named CEO just a short while ago, about a month or two ago, and he succeeds at basically running it, his father, which is kind of, I think, is a great story. And we wanted to talk to him about that. He's been in and around these his Rocky Mountaineer trains for a long time, and it clearly has a passion for the business. And we're going to find out about all that and a whole lot more on Insider Travel Report. Tristan, as I said earlier when we were off camera, congratulations on your new role as CEO appointed. Do you feel this is a role you've been preparing for a good part of your life, or is this something that you just sort of happened over time, right?
Well, first and foremost, thanks for the time with you today, James. It's an honor to be here. But, you know, on your question, I would have to say learned a lot of lessons along the way. Naturally, you can only imagine growing up in a business like this. It dominated a lot of dinner time talk, and it also dominated a lot of evenings and weekends, whether that might be chasing lost luggage, talking to our guests, whatever it might be. But it's certainly Rocky Mania has always been in my life. And with my sisters actually in Chelsea, we feel tremendously honored and privileged to be in this role. And we look forward to continuing the legacy that our father, Peter, started for the next generation. So, the world works in mysterious ways, but just feel excited for what's ahead as you continue to grow our business.
Yeah, I guess at the dinner table, it was all about trains, right?
Absolutely. Which, you know, for a young boy, having little trains, that's around, I had a ball.
Yeah, well, I grew up with model trains too. So, but you had a model trains, but you had an actual train. You didn't have to have a model, right?
Yeah. No, I was probably an annoying young kid at different times, running up and down aisles, excited, giddy, seeing it all, but got to spend a lot of time around the train, and certainly that's been beneficial, you know, which has led to this moment.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what Rocky Mountaineer is today. What are the rail products you offer, both in Canada and obviously in the U.S., which was a fairly recent addition, post-COVID, actually, if I recall.
Yeah, absolutely. So James, we run four luxury trail marines that, in our opinion, showcase some of the most spectacular scenery in North America. So Rocky Mountaineer, we are a daylight trail service, and we offer three routes in Canada that connect Vancouver to the Canadian Rockies with the towns of Banff, Lake Louise, and Jasper. And now, as you mentioned, we launched a fourth route in the middle of COVID that travels between Denver, Colorado, and Moab, Utah, in the Southwest United States. This is, in our opinion, a must-do travel experience. It offers unparalleled journeys in spacious, glass-domed coaches. And thanks to the incredible scenery, the delicious cuisine that we offer, friendly service, and the social atmosphere, we are very just fortunate to provide an experience that we think is unique in this world.
Now, mentioned the U.S. trail product. How's that been doing for you? Because it's a fairly new one. And I know a lot of my viewers, my travel advisor viewers, we got to about 125,000 of them. Definitely know Rocky Mountaineer, but they may not be as familiar with the U.S. product. And so how's that been going for you?
Well, so the U.S. product was something that actually started before COVID with the planning. We knew that we had, I mean, we've been so fortunate, we've had over 2 million guests be with us, about 2.4 million guests have traveled the Rocky Mountaineer. And one of the most common pieces of feedback we received was, where else can we take it?
Right.
And that started our journey. And we, in the late 2010s, you know, around 17, 18, 19, we started to really identify Colorado and Utah as being a place that, you know, had the airlift, but also had the spectacular scenery that we really looked for. And we launched the route in 2021, and we've now hosted close to 25,000 guests.
Wow.
So we're still in our infancy. But you know, one of the things that I found with the team down in Colorado, Utah, is they have really taken this on. They've created a product that is unique to that market. It's unique to that geography. It's differentiated from our Canadian product, but it also has a lot of similarities to the Canadian product. So, you know, while we've learned a lot along the way, we are very excited by the potential of that rink, and we look forward to continuing to grow.
So, those people who have experienced Rocky Mountaineer in Canada would recognize the product in the US, right?
They would. There would. Now, there are some subtle differences. We are able to run our bi-level domes, our gold leaf coaches down there. There are some tunnels, and I wouldn't allow that. So what we've done actually is we've changed the product positioning a little bit. We've got what we call Silver Leaf Plus. We're still in the glass dome coach. However, you also have access to a lounge car next door. And there you can get additional storytelling, have a little bit more freedom of movement, curated craft cocktails. You know, I can just speak on behalf of my wife. When she took it, she absolutely loved the freedom that the lounge car provided. And she's a pretty bubbly personality and just loved being able to talk with fellow guests.
No, the lounges, I've been on lounges like that before. That really is, as long as you don't run into, this is an old Hitchcock movie, as long as you don't run into a stranger on a train, but that's another story. For those who know Hitchcock will know the reference, because that was not, n didn't turn out so well, but it is amazing to be there with all your friends talking. And then, of course, you see the magnificent scenery,
Absolutely.
which is the reason to be there. Actually, it reminds me, just remind us about the different levels of service you have, Gold Leaf, Silver Leaf, I think Red Leaf, even on the Canadians, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you mentioned Red Leaf. So we have retired that service about a decade ago. And so we have two levels of service on the Canadian route and two levels of service on the American route. In Canada, we have Silver Leaf, which is a single level dome cart where you have your meals and you experience everything from the comfort of your own seat. And then on the bi-level dome cart is what we call Gold Leaf. You experience the service upstairs and then you go downstairs for a higher five-star level dining
Nice.
experience. So
Nice.
it's very nice. Now, and then in the States, it's very similar. Silver Leaf is the same on both sides of the border. And then, as I mentioned, Silver Leaf Plus is just a elevated service level where you have a bit more freedom of movement between the two coaches.
So you have a lot of great service, and the one thing you mentioned is the food. Sounds wonderful, and I only hear good things about it. And I have been on dome cars like that. It just is amazing journey. Now, let's talk a little bit about you growing up. Now, how old were you when you first experienced, your first Rocky Mountaineer rail tour?
Well, it's exciting. It's top of mind for me because it was about a month ago today, on March 26, 1990, was when my father received the phone call that his bid for this rail route was successful. And so I was 4 years old when that phone call came in. And about 3 weeks later, my mother, my aunts, close friends, they all had to rent tuxedos and they had to welcome actually travel agents from around the world on a train trip. And while they didn't quite know all the theory and all the storytelling on that inaugural trip, what they did know was this trip or this train trip was going to be absolutely special. And so it grew from there. I would say, you know, it became an annual or something. Some summers we would do it multiple times.
Right.
Got to experience it and saw all the different iterations of the business. I mentioned earlier, I got to play with different model train sets. But what really changed our business was in 1995 when Peter and the team developed a Gold Leaf, the inaugural 9501 Gold Leaf coach, which was produced out of Denver, Colorado, and then brought onto the level of Sierra Mason. And since then, you know, we've continued to grow and innovate and build on what we consider our guest service expectation and our level that we hold ourselves accountable to. So I've got to experience it from a lot of different lenses. I mentioned a chase luggage, and I've done that in a professional capacity as well. You know, I just feel absolutely privileged to be associated with this brand and this business. You have an incredible team, which is really, you know, the hallmark of our success.
Well, as I'm kind of jealous because you had a big version of the model trains I had. You didn't need model trains. You said you had them, but you know, you actually had a wonderful train set with mountains and everything else all live. I think that's great, and I would have loved that. But you mentioned, you know, you've had a lot of different jobs within Marquee Mountaineer before becoming CEO. Did you really get this give you a chance to see really every part of the company? And so that really has prepared you for this new role, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I was very fortunate. My sister and I were always fortunate. Our father was very inclusive at a young age, whether we liked it or not. I mean, I need to say, trips to when we were being driven to school in the morning, we'd be doing phone calls and we'd get to listen in and understand all the different pressures on the business. But when I grew up, the very first job, which wasn't a choice I had, was that my father said, "No, you're going to be cleaning the trains." Cleaning the trains. And so I spent a summer, a season doing that. And then eventually I got to go into the office. I got to work in frontline roles with our guest experience center, dealing and trying to troubleshoot problems that our guests had while they were in travel with us. And kind of from there, I also had experience in procurement. Now, and then as a family, we have a policy that you have to go elsewhere outside of to kind of get your professional experience. And I did that for about 6 years. Then following that, I joined as an observer on our board of directors. Following that, about 2 years later, I was brought on by our independent board of directors. I was voted on. And so I've got to experience a lot of different aspects of the business along the way and seeing different innovations. I mean, we all know what 9/11 meant to the hospitality industry, you know, 2008 meant,
And then you knew what COVID meant.
Exactly. So, you know, we've seen the good times and we understand the hard times, but that's the resilience of our industry.
Now, I understand you were also president and CEO of Major Rock Corporation. It's your family organization that really has a lot of different businesses in hospitality, real estate, private equity, as well as your family foundation. And I guess you're continuing going to be running that as well, right?
Yeah, so I'll continue to provide leadership and oversight on that. I mean, how we look at Major Rock is it's really our family office, and it's a way for us to continue to kind of grow in different pieces. You mentioned some of the different industries that we're in. You know, Rocky Mountaineer is, you know, all of our passion. We look forward to continuing to grow it. And when we kind of just think about it, I mean, one of the legacies of Peter, my father, is he was a great entrepreneur. And when we think about Major Rock, we want to continue that culture through all of the different business lines that we're in. And then I look at myself as a steward towards that.
Yeah, I guess the question goes, you know, your father's still there. He's there to advise, but giving you a lot of rope, so to speak, to figure out different the way you want to run the company. And then he's always there to get advice, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? The pandemic was a challenging time for all of us. And, you know, I would say that it changed the relationship I had with my father, where, you know, you go from being a father-son relationship to being business partners.
Right.
And I'm fortunate that he had a lot of trust and faith in me personally. And I look forward to, you know, paying that back and continuing his legacy. And continuing to work with all the exceptional team members at Rocky Mountaineer.
Well, you certainly have the chops. So after, you know, growing up in the business and all these different jobs, he better trust you now. If he doesn't trust you, like you definitely have worked as partners. So that's great. Let's talk a little bit about, you did launch that U.S. rail operation, and you said, well, you really thought about before COVID. Any ideas of doing anything further expansion into other rail products at this time?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we would love to continue to grow. I mean, we are so fortunate to have such positive word of mouth associated with our brands. And, you know, we would love to continue to create additional products that we can sell and work with our trade partners on. For the immediate future, it certainly is. Let's continue to grow awareness and interest in our new route in the States and continuing to attract travelers to Western Canada. So, we're very fortunate, again, to have the affinity from our guests we would love to continue to grow with them and provide additional spectacular rates. And so we're always on the lookout, I would say.
Well, it's interesting because you really are the company that has been successful in launching these kind of wonderful rail tours and real luxury rail tour products. There's been a lot of other companies that have come and gone in the space in the U.S. Certainly, I actually went on one that was doing Pullman cars down from Chicago to New Orleans well before COVID. I liked the service, but they just never made a go of it. And there were other American luxury trains that didn't do it. But you, throughout all this, you've succeeded. What's your secret? How do you succeed when the others are just can't seem to do it?
I can't speak to the others, because I'm sure they had a tremendous amount of challenges. But what I can speak to is that we have great people.
Right.
And that goes along all the way. You know, we kind of chatted about some of the challenges of the last 20 years, but it is a benefit. I'm biased, of course, along this, but being a family business, we can also take a long-term view. And, we don't have to chase a quarter. We can think long-term chunks. And I think by those benefit that we get to come from. And, of course, we want to just continue to partner with fantastic people. To get us here, we had a lot of great team members and incredibly talented people. And we continue to attract, say, caliber of individuals with us, and we feel extremely fortunate for that.
Well, right now, rail's kind of hot in the U.S., and we had the success with Brightline moving from now. I just took that service from Miami all the way to Orlando, and it's great. Yeah. It's almost like future shock. And, of course, I'm in Europe now where, high-speed trains and train travel is the norm. And then, of course, we just had the groundbreaking for their Vegas to L.A. service just the other day. So, and now you have your luxury train in the U.S. So I think, I'm a train buff anyway, but boy, it's good to hear that there's so many, things going on in a rail segment.
It is, and there's something, there's a romanticism to it too, right? In today's world, that is increasingly hurried and all of us are extremely busy. There's just something about being on the rails and slowing down. I was on our train last week, and it was amazing to me to just observe and witness our fellow guests who on the first day, they were looking at their phones. They were, thinking about the outside world. And by day two, they had completely relaxed and kind of given in to the scenery around them. And, it's almost intoxicating to kind of experience that and just kind of see how can you further build on that.
Absolutely. And I think you've done a great job in building on it. Now, you mentioned partnerships before, and I know you have partnerships with cruise lines and some tour operators to kind of offer, programs in conjunction with their cruises and tours. Who do you work with right now?
Well, we will work with all the cruise lines, actually, across the board. I mean, we continue to see the popularity of combining La Canoe and Canada with an Alaska cruise.
Right.
Speaking to the Vancouver port, Vancouver, I believe, welcomed a record 1.25 million cruise passengers last year. So it's incredible to see the popularity continue to grow there. With Vancouver being the Western destination for Rocky Mountaineer's three Canadian routes, as well as the home port for many Alaska cruise sailings, we bringing these two experiences together could not be easier. Our season aligns very closely with the Alaska cruise season, and we're delighted to see tour operators continuing to offer Rocky Mountaineer alongside these Alaska cruises.
No, it's great, and I know you might have some other tour operators too that are using your service as well. I think Tauk might use your tour service. I can't remember.
That's correct. Yeah, Tauk is a great partner of ours.
Yeah, so they really, and they've used it. And are you open to other partnerships going forward?
Absolutely. We want to continue to grow, and we recognize that different operators appeal to different clientele, and we look forward to continuing to grow those partnerships.
Fantastic. Now, is there anything else you want to tell our 125,000 travel advisors out there in the U.S. and Canada? We have a few in Canada about Rocky Mountaineer today and what you have planned for the future.
Well, first and foremost, I want to take this opportunity and thank all of our travel advisor partners for their support. We all know what recent history was, but without your support, a lot of businesses, including the Rocky Mountaineer, would not have seen the other side. So thank you very much. Throughout our 34-year history, our sales partners have helped to grow brand awareness, raise Rocky Mountaineer's profile, and introduce our training arrays to their clients. We would not be where we are without that support. So we look forward to continuing to build on those relationships and being a partner of choice going forward. And that's my commitment to you as we usher in this next era.
Fantastic. Now, where can those advisors go right now? I assume your website to find out more about Rocky Mountaineer.
Well, so travel advisors can set up an account with our new agent portal.
Okay.
And here they can book Rocky Mountaineer trips and access to customizable marketing materials, get more information on Rocky Mountaineer, and find all the latest news, incentives, promotions that are on. Further to that, our reservations and sales team members are CASNIP experts on all of our journeys. They, this is what they live and breathe, mm-hmm. and they're happy to assist travel advisors with planning. We also offer travel advisor perks and incentives, including experiential journeys and online tracks training programs. So lots of different ways to continue to foster our partnerships.
That's fantastic. And to get to the portal, they just go to RockyMountaineer.com?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, we'll find that out too, because I just want to make sure. Well, Tristan, first of all, again, congratulations. You've been preparing this for a while, and it's nice to know that you've moved from model trains to real trains, I'm very envious. I had a big train set up as a kid, all European trains, and I built a mountain with trains all around it. And then, of course, puberty set in, and by the time I got to my teenage years, I wasn't paying as much attention to that anymore. But I didn't have real trains to play with like you do. So that's amazing. So again, congratulations, and we're looking forward to more. And hopefully we can do an interview one of these days on board one of your trains. That would be a lot of fun.
Well, James, I just want to thank you for your time. Your schedule is quite busy and I look forward to when we can do it in person on board one of our trains, whether that's on the American side or on the Canadian side. But we'll have to make sure that we get this in the calendar.
Okay, that's a date. We'll be training together. That'll be great. Again, thank you very much. I am James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.